Ready to elevate your career with a professionally published book? Are you simply not sure where to start? Your search ends here, my friend. Let's walk the publishing path together and bring your book to life with the Publishing for Professionals podcast. I'm here to coach thought leaders, executives, and speakers on how to successfully self-publish your book while avoiding common pitfalls. I'm Lana Liquidy Smargis. Join me each week to acquire practical wisdom and proven strategies and find out what the traditional publishing companies simply don't want you to know. This is more than just a podcast. It's your roadmap to becoming a published author. Get ready to write your blueprint for book publishing success with the Publishing for Professionals podcast. Hey, friends and future authors, it's Lana Liquidy, and I'm back for another episode of Self-Publishing for Professionals. I'm so excited to be here today because I had a coaching session recently with my coaching group. And one of the people in the coaching group said, I would love to know how to break down the big job of writing your self-publishing book, because it's such a huge undertaking. How do you break it down into smaller goals that are more manageable, that make it not feel so overwhelming? So that's what we're going to get into in today's show. But before we jump into today's show, I wanted to tell you about an experience I had recently with a client. My client, Jay, is fabulous. I helped him to edit his book, which is absolutely amazing. If you are on my email newsletter, you will see it coming out soon. In addition to all the other client books that I talk about, I typically do a run in November and December and show all of my different client books I worked on this year, so you can purchase them. So definitely make sure you're on my newsletter. Jay says, and this is his Google review that you can look at by going to Google My Business and looking up Write For You. After I finished writing my manuscript, I knew I'd want to find someone to help me bring it to the next level before publishing. I took a ton of meetings, phone calls, and Zooms until I landed on Write For You. I wanted my voice and story to feel like it's mine while going through a polish, and that's exactly what Lynn did for me. Write For You respected my story and my writing style. She offered suggestions but never pushed her own style on me. I never felt like I wasn't in control of my book, and this was a very personal project for me. The working process was smooth and quick. If I could give a higher rating than 5 stars, I would. Jay, thank you so much. I really pride myself on getting my client's voice and story spot on so that it's not me coming through, it's you coming through, but with my guidance, advice, support, and professional editing. So I'm so glad you loved your professional edit, Jay. And if you are looking for a professional edit with that same or similar experience, definitely jump on a discovery call with me. So today's episode is about how to break down the big job of writing your self-published book into a smaller one, because a lot of my clients have full-time jobs. Some of them have full-time jobs and a side gig. So we don't have a lot of time to, you know, write our books. And we're not going to typically like lock ourselves in the cabin for a week, although some of my clients have done that. You can do that. But more realistically, we need to figure out how to work our book into our daily lives, right? And that's really important. So, my future authors, I have a fabulous episode for you today. If you have your pen and pencil and or notebook handy, then let's dive in to this topic so you can get one step closer to self-publishing your book and calling yourself an author. First, number one, why writing a book paralyzes most people. Number one, people don't consider themselves a writer, okay? So a lot of people, they don't write for a living, right? I write for a living, so for me, it's like a lot easier for me to write my book. Plus, I write really quickly and I process ideas really quickly. So I have basically like an optimal brain for writing and creating content. But most people don't have my brain, and that's why I do what I do to help people who don't have that skill set or don't know the professional standards or whatever, fill in the blank, to help them get their book to look professional. Overwhelm is because you have an undefined goal, right? Writing a book is too vague and there's no clear starting point or next step. Then you get blank page paralysis, okay? And then you start comparing yourself to other people's finished books, not the process. So a lot of people quit before they even start. And that's understandable because we see all these other things out there, New York Times bestsellers and all this stuff. Just push all of that aside, my friend. Don't think about all of that. All you need to focus on is you and your book goal. Let me say that again. Push aside the bestseller list
and every other expectation or thought you have about self-publishing. And the only thing you want to focus on is why you want to write a book and how you're going to get there, right? Don't think about bestseller lists or anything or awards. All you want to first focus on is breaking it down to your first step, right? That's mindset. Mindset is a huge part of writing a book. It's probably 99% of it. It's not skill-based. It's not, do you consider yourself a writer? It's your mindset. Actually, considering yourself a writer is part of mindset. Even if you're not a full-time writer, consider yourself a writer now if you want to write your book, okay? And because it's a large project, right? Our brains resist undefined enormous tasks. If you do have clear milestones, that helps, right? Celebrating your small wins, that helps as well. And you can also measure your progress and visibility. And breaking down a huge project into smaller goals makes it easier to achieve for you and more believable. When you're milestone thinking, you're gonna have to manage, you manage projects, you probably manage other projects this way too. And if you don't, it's a good way to manage projects is to take your bigger goal and break it down into smaller goals. Okay, you need a success mindset shift from I need to write a book to I'm going to complete my chapter outline. From, oh my gosh, I have to self-publish in December to let me start working on like titles for my book or ideas I want to write about or topics or let me do a mind map for my book, right? We want to have the mindset of what is our next step, not what is the huge big picture. Maybe our mindset is what am I going to get done on my book today? And that can be your goal, right? Maybe your goal is to write 15 minutes three times a week, whatever it is. You're going to what you want to shift your mindset from I need to finish my book to what is the very next step I need to do in my book? And this is so helpful because this mindset shift really helps to prevent a lot of the overwhelm most new authors get and thought leaders like yourself when they think about writing a book. It really is a big project, but you don't have to think about the big project all the time. You just have to think about what little part of the big project you are going to do. Writing milestones. You want to first define your book's purpose and audience. And if you're not sure how to do this, definitely get my book focus template. The link for it is in the show notes below. This literally walks you through step by step your whole pre-writing milestone. It helps you with defining your purpose and audience, who the book is for, what problem does it solve, what should readers be able to do after reading, your professional goals for the book. Download that template. It's free. Your book focus template. It's in the show notes. So download that for free. Get that book focus template. That's going to check off your milestone one. Okay. Milestone two is create your book outline. Okay. You're going to brainstorm your topics and chapters and you want to organize it into a logical flow. Most business books have between 10 and 15 chapters. You can have more or less. That's perfectly fine. Now, milestone three is going to be research and gather your content. All right, so identify existing content you can repurpose, like podcast episodes. I am currently writing a book for someone who has podcast episodes they're turning into a book. I did that last year as well. If you have a podcast you want to turn into a book, I can definitely help you out with that. I've done that with my own books, with two of my own books that I've written personally, and two or more books that I have written for other authors as well. Milestone four, establishing your writing schedule, okay? A realistic assessment of your available time. Now, you might say, I don't have any time. If you say that, that probably means that you might have some time available, but you might be scrolling on social media or watching too many YouTube videos. I know it's really easy to watch too many YouTube videos. I do that too sometimes. And sometimes you're just not having a good day. And it's okay to give yourself a break sometimes, right? Every once in a while, like yesterday, I had a horrible headache. I had pain behind my eyes. I just could not record a podcast episode. So I had to stop. Now, it's not writing a book, but same thing applies, right? If you're having a really bad day or you feel sick, don't do it because you can't be creative. It's very hard to be creative when you're sick and then you're pushing yourself and then you feel worse. Always give yourself the grace of if you're not feeling well, take a break and say, okay, today we skipped because I didn't feel good. We're going to pick this up on the next regularly scheduled time I want to write a book. So figure out first your schedule, right? When's a good realistic time to write your book? So if you have little kids running around your house, a realistic time to write your book isn't writing a book when they get home from school, right? But like one of my clients did, she actually had her book outline on her phone. And what she did was while she was waiting in line to pick up her daughter for a half an hour every day, she would look and see what the next part she needed to record. And she would audio record, just talk into her phone and then use it as transcripts to write her book, right? So find time when you're alone or look for time when you're alone. Like a lot of people who have small children do before they wake up or after they go to bed at night, or if your kid takes a nap every day at the same time, spend part of that time writing your book. It doesn't have to be 2 or 3 hours. It can be 15 minutes or 30 minutes, or outline your book or whatever your next step is. Just block off time and protect it, right? Protecting it is the hardest part because we have so many things coming up in our lives. But blocking it off and protecting that time is super important. Once you know what time you're going to do, then your next milestone 3 is researching and gathering your content. You're going to find all of the things you have that are going to support your outline. Okay, now you're not going to have all your content for your whole book, but look for presentations, articles, speeches, case studies, examples you have, or stories or anecdotes. Okay, and organize this in like a document or however you want to organize it, right? But make sure you know where it is and that it's easily accessible. I like using Google Docs and Drive because it's really easy to organize things in there. And what I would recommend, putting a chapter folder and then putting all the resources for that chapter in that chapter folder. Okay. So whether that's, you know, slides or a slideshow or a podcast episode transcript, put all of those in the chapter folder that you're going to use them in, right? So if chapter 5 is all about gardening with perennials, you're going to put all of the information about gardening with perennials in that chapter 5 folder. Okay. Now you can do it how you like to do it. That's how I like to do it because that's the way my mind keeps it organized. And I found after doing this for 10 years, that's the best way that works. So we've established a writing schedule. And then our next milestone, number 5, is completing your first draft introduction. Okay. So this is, you're good, and you want to write one chapter at a time, which is our milestone 6. When you're writing your chapters, you do not have to write them in order, especially if you're writing a nonfiction book, right? If you're writing a fiction book, then yeah, you clearly have to write them in order because you're not going to jump around, especially with character arcs and building worlds and things like that, right? But if you're writing a business book or any nonfiction book, as long as you have a clear outline ready to go, then you can start on chapter 6 and then jump to chapter 2 and then write chapter 1 at the end. I always actually recommend people write their introduction at the end because when you write your introduction in the beginning and then you get your developmental edit, you most likely are going to change your introduction. So I would say keep your introduction for the last part just to be efficient with your time. Start with whatever chapter you want to start with. Start with the easiest chapter. Whatever you feel like writing, write it. If that's chapter 10 and you have 10 chapters in your book, write that chapter first because you know what? You can go back and edit it. Writing is very similar to painting. I like to paint a lot. Is that if you take a break from it too, that's fine. Just say, I'm going to take a week break from my writing and then come back to it, right? Because when you come back to it with fresh eyes, it's much easier to write because your head's more clear than if you keep trying to push yourself really hard. All right, so milestone 6, writing one chapter at a time, okay? And then break each chapter into smaller tasks, okay? So you might wanna do your bullet point and outline first of each chapter before you start to write it, or if you just wanna start to write it, that's fine. I would not recommend writing your book without having an outline first, right? Because of 2 reasons, and I mentioned these before on previous episodes. One is because you are going to write a bunch of content you're probably not going to keep in your book because you don't have a clear outline. And 2, if you don't know who you're speaking to or how you're speaking to them, you're going to be wasting time writing content that you're just not going to use, right? Or that you might be using, but in different, and then it's going to take you longer to edit it and move that content around. In order to be time efficient and not waste your time, because time is one thing we cannot get back, my friends, you want to make sure you have your outline first before you write your book, no matter what. Okay, so you want to complete, you're going to write, break down your chapters into smaller tasks, or just like say, hey, I'm going to write more chapter 6 today, whatever that is. Then once you get done all of your chapters, however long that takes you, you're going to have a first draft, okay? So your first draft is, what I like to do is take my separate chapters and put them in each document, right? So chapter one has its own document. Chapter two has its own document. And the reason I do that is because it is much easier to move around chapters, because that happens a lot with nonfiction books. It's like, oh, I think chapter four is better as chapter six, because after you've written it, you see, oh, this makes more sense. It's much easier to rename and move a document than it is to copy and paste a whole chapter out. Like, I was writing with a co-author recently, and he's like, oh my gosh, we're missing the whole big chunk of this, because he wanted to put everything on one document. And I'm like, yeah, you're right, we are. And this is why I don't like writing my whole book on one document. It's so hard to find anything on it, even if you are using titles in Google Docs. And then if you find it, if you copy it and paste it wrong, then you've got duplicate work, which I've seen happen to clients before when I'm editing their book. They duplicate things two and three times because they're using one big document, and it makes it really hard to like see clearly what you're doing in that chapter. So use one chapter per document. All right, my friends, if you're really frustrated and you're feeling stuck, or you're not sure what to do and you're listening to this episode, and you're tired of putting your book aside and constantly hitting roadblocks in self-publishing, and you're ready to get the support you need without spending thousands and thousands of dollars on some self-publishing course online, come join me inside my new community, Publishing for Leaders. I would love to add author to your bio before the end of the year, and I know you would too. So if you join my new free community on School, you'll find weekly tips and advice on self-publishing, plus a free group coaching session every month. Don't worry, if you miss that group coaching session, like the next one we have coming up is on Amazon KDP and the biggest mistakes people make, no worries, because you can watch the replay on School. So even if you miss a group coaching session, still join the School community because you can watch the replay. And if you have questions about any of the topics on the replay, guess what? We've got a coffee chat once a month on a Friday that you can come in and ask your questions that will be answered during that coffee chat time. So jump in now while it's still free, because the first 100 members only are complimentary. Go to www.school.com, that's S-K-O-O-L, and search Publishing for Leaders. Join today. There's also a link in the show notes. All right, so let's get back to revision and refinement. Okay, the next milestone is taking a break before revising. So step away from your book for maybe a day or two, maybe a week, but make sure you have in your calendar when you're gonna come back, so you know when you're gonna come back. Don't say, I'm gonna step away from it and not have a date to come back, because you're never gonna come back to your book, okay? Have a date to come back, even if you're just reading through your whole book, right? You don't have to do any major work on it when you come back. All right, so keep that in mind. Keep it easy for yourself. And also, if you're feeling burnt out, take a break, then come back to your book. But always have a date you're coming back. If you need to take a month, that's fine. Take a month, but have a date to come back. Self-editing for content and structure, you're going to, once you have your rough draft done, read through your book, right? Once without editing, like I said before. But you can do some edits, right? If you see anything blaringly obvious, clearly edit your book. But you don't have to do any major fixes the first run through. The second run through is when you want to do major fixes. Now, what you can do, which I would advise you to do, and I love doing, this is a really great feature on Google Docs, and it's also on Word too, is you can highlight and comment on the sidebar. And I like Google Docs better than Word on this, because it's much clearer and it has a bubble on the side so you can clearly read. I'm not a fan of the way Word documents do it. On the side is kind of jumbled and it's hard to see. Make a comment on like, I think this might be better in chapter one, and just leave that comment there, right? You can highlight it and just hit comment, and you don't have to change it right then. You can come back and reread it again. So check for flows and transitions. And then once you have gone back and then gone to self-edit it the second time, have a beta reader group, right? So if you want to do a beta reader group, what that is asking several people to read your book for free and to give you feedback on the book. Now, they're not going to give you grammar feedback like, oh, this word is misspelled, right? They will give you feedback like, I'm not understanding this topic, or I'm not sure what this industry term means. This would be better explained this way. So they're giving you feedback on how they like the book and its readability, okay? And that's what they're giving you feedback on, not the grammar or punctuation. But there's always going to be beta readers that give you that anyway, even though you tell them not to. Then after the beta readers go through it, you can implement any revisions you like that the beta readers have given you. Remember, just because a beta reader gives you an information doesn't mean you have to act on it, okay? Your next section is completing your professional editing. So now you're going to hire an editor after the beta readers have gone through it, after you've edited twice and you've found any of the edits you can pick. Now, the number one thing I would not recommend that has never worked for anybody I've ever talked to is, quote unquote, hiring a friend to edit your book. One of my clients actually hired her niece, her 18-year-old niece, to edit her professional book. And guess what? It sounded like an 18-year-old was writing that book. So I had to go through and charge her for a second time for re-editing her entire book. It sounded like an 18-year-old was writing that book. And that's not what we want, for sure, right? We don't want it to sound like a high schooler has written that book. We want it to sound like a thought leader professional has written our book. So never, ever, ever, my friends, it's very rare I say never do something. I'm saying it right now. Never hire a friend, question of quote unquote, to go through your book. And beta readers going through your book is not professional editing, okay? Also, a friend who like has an English major is not a professional editor. You need a professional editor. I cannot stress for you enough. I have an episode on the costly mistakes of not hiring a professional editor. And I can't tell you the number of people who I've talked to who have said, oh my gosh, Lynn, I went to this workshop and this person had this book and they handed it out for free. And it was clearly not professionally edited, because when I was reading chapter one, I saw all these mistakes on it. And then I just literally left the book at the workshop because I'm like, this isn't even worth reading. That is the type of opinion people get of not professionally edited books. That is not the type of opinion you want people having your book. Actually, one of my clients I'm currently working with, she had written three other books, and one of her books, I went on Amazon and I was reading some of the reviews, and four of her reviews out of like 30 some reviews actually said it didn't look like this person hired a professional editor. There was mistakes all over the place. It was very hard to read. Okay. And that was three or four of her reviews out of like 30 or 40 reviews, right? That's almost 10% of her reviews. Really, really important. I can't stress enough about hiring a professional editor. All right. Now, a few episodes ago, I did a episode on you want to have all of your editing done before you hand it off to a formatter, okay? So when you hand it off to a formatter, your book should be pretty much like absolutely exactly what you want it. Now, there might be a couple of mistakes here and there, no big deal. You want it to be completely finished editing. You're not going to do any more edits. When you're not going to do any more edits, then you want to look for a book formatter. And you want to look for a book formatter who is not working in Word. So one of the first questions you want to ask them is, do you work in Word? And if the answer is yes, find somebody else. And the reason I say that is Word is just not a good document, because half the time it's not going to check off the boxes for KDP, and then you're going to have to pay somebody else to edit your book. Book formatting. I can help you out with that. So if you need help with that, hit me up on a Path to Publishing discovery call. Then once you get your book formatting done, your next milestone is getting your book cover done. A lot of times your book formatter can do your book cover design. I do both for my clients as well if they need that. Sometimes they hire other people, that's fine, or they have other people they want to use. Make sure it is someone who has designed books on KDP, because one of my clients hired a book cover designer and she literally didn't know what to do. Like literally, like I was telling her that this book cover is not going to fit on KDP, the book cover designer's response was, oh, I never download a template from KDP. And I'm like, that's literally the first thing you need to know when you're a book cover designer and you're designing book covers on KDP. Ask them questions, get references, and call them or email these references, okay? Because you never want to assume just because someone's giving you references that they're actually real references. Sometimes people give fake references. Sometimes people give references and they think they did a good job. And then you call the person, you found out what a horrible job they did. Keep that in mind. But once you get your formatting done and your book cover design, you're going to upload it into KDP, and then you've got your book launch. Those are the steps to doing your book, right? To writing your self-published book. And you want to take them in small chronological steps and break them up. So write the big picture, write down the little steps. And if you're confused or you have any questions, come join me in my school community and ask me a question. Just chat with me on message and ask me a question, or put it in the general discussion. I'd be happy to answer it for you there. Go to skool.com and look for Publishing for Leaders. All right, my friends, I hope this has been really helpful in helping you break down these goals to writing your book. And then that way your book won't feel like overwhelming, right? Because if it feels overwhelming, we're not going to write it. Break it down into small goals and think about, what am I going to do the next time I'm going to sit down to write this book? What is the next step I have to take keep that mindset, keep moving forward, and take a break when you need it, right? But make sure, again, you have that date to come back to your book. You will finish your book. It might take some time, but consistency and doing it like on a regular basis always pays off, no matter what you're doing, especially when you're writing a book. All right, my friends, until next week, this is Lynn Aliquity reminding you to keep writing, keep dreaming, and keep creating. Your book is waiting to be born. Thanks for joining me today on the Publishing for Professionals podcast. I really hope this episode has equipped you with an actionable strategy for your publishing journey. If you found the information on today's show valuable, make sure to rate and leave a review for my show on your favorite podcast player. And also subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and get the next episode drop as soon as it's published. Until next week, this is Lynn Aliquity reminding you to keep writing, keep dreaming, and keep creating. Your book is waiting to be born. This podcast is brought to you by Unicorn Publishing Company. The information in this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. The content shared by the host, guests, and affiliates is not intended to substitute for professional, legal, or financial advice, or any professional advice specific to your situation. Always seek the advice of a qualified professional with any questions you may have. The opinions expressed on the show by the host or guests are those of the individuals and do not necessarily reflect the views of Unicorn Publishing Company. Unicorn Publishing Company, the host, guests, and affiliates are not responsible or liable for any decisions made by listeners or actions taken hereto based on the information discussed in this podcast. By listening to this podcast, you acknowledge and agree to release Unicorn Publishing Company, the host, affiliates, and guests from any liability.